Good evening, everyone. It is really great to be back with you all again. Thanks so much for another invitation, another warm welcome. It's great to be able to share a little bit of an update to the work of EMF. But before I do that, I want to express our heartfelt thanks for all of your continued practical and prayerful support for us as a mission. We really do appreciate it. Of course, the last couple of years have been so challenging for us all, haven't they? And it's been challenging for us as a mission, but God has been good. God has been hearing and answering our prayers, especially for new gospel workers for Europe. In fact, just last year, we were able to welcome 7 new missionaries or missionary couples into our missionary family. 1 man for France, 2 couples for Romania, 1 couple for Spain, 2 couples for Portugal, and 1 couple for Moldova. And that's the first time we've ever, in our 60-year history, been able to support a couple from the land of Moldova. So a little encouragement to you. God does hear, and God does answer prayer. He is the merciful God, as we've been thinking about already. Now, this evening, I want to fix our focus not upon any of those 7 countries, but we're going to be focusing our attention on this place, the land of Poland. And it is a fascinating country. Hands up, has anyone been to Poland before? A couple of hands I see. Well, with Poland, you have stunning beauty, a sobering history, and staggering spiritual need. But let's begin with the basics. Let's get our bearings and look at Poland's location. There it is, situated in the very heart of Europe. In fact, it's nestled in between 7 other countries. Here they are. You've got Germany over to the west, the Czech Republic and Slovakia to the south, Ukraine and Belarus to the east, and Lithuania and a little province, little enclave of Russia to the northeast. Which means Poland is a gateway nation from Western to Eastern Europe. It's got a very strategic location. Poland has a population of around 38 million people. But do remember, there are many Polish people living in other parts of the world, including the UK. In fact, it's believed there are now some 900,000 Polish people living in the UK alone, way more than any other non-British nationality. A little reminder to us that these are remarkable days that we are living in, how the Lord is bringing the nations right to our doorstep, how we ought to be up and bright and busy about the Master's work when there are so many rich gospel opportunities so close to hand. Now, as you can see from the picture there, Poland is a large country geographically, and contained within it are places of stunning beauty. Have a little look. Hopefully my clicker is not going to give up on me. I think it might have. Oh, there we go. Good. Along with some amazing architecture, it's got a variety of striking landscapes from the amber beaches of the Baltic Sea coast in the north, and the rolling central lowlands to the snow-capped peaks of the Carpathian Mountains down in the south. Poland has giant forests, over 1,000 lakes, and get this, its very own miniature desert. Who knew? And if you've traveled across, or if you plan to travel across to Poland, whenever we're allowed to do that, you might visit some of the famous landmarks. Here are 1 or 2. Let's hope we can see them. Here they come. You've got the breathtaking salt mine near Krakow. Then there's the massive Malbork Castle, believed to be the largest castle in the world. And of course, the infamous and truly haunting Auschwitz concentration camp. And that leads us on to consider Poland's long and sobering history. Because over the past 1,000 years or so, Poland's history has been blighted by wars and uprisings. There was a time when Poland was the largest country in Europe, but there was also a period when it disappeared from the world map for over 100 years. It was finally restored as a nation back in 1918, but ravaged by 2 world wars, Poland suffered tremendously throughout the course of the previous century. World War II was particularly damaging as Poland's historically strong Jewish population was almost wholly annihilated in the Holocaust. Millions of non-Jewish Poles also died. In fact, when the war finally ended, it is believed 1/4 of Poland's population had perished. That's incredible. Now, as we know, the Third Reich fell in 1945, but tragically, further hardship was to follow. Why? Because the Iron Curtain then descended. Polish people had to endure over 40 years of communism, meaning a ravaged economy, shortages of basic necessities, and a wholesale loss of human freedoms, including, of course, the freedom of religion. Now, eventually, in time, communism collapsed, and Poland emerged as an independent democratic country, which it is to this day. But as you can see, Poland has had a truly sobering history. What about religion in the land of Poland? Well, Poland is a devoutly religious country. And one religion is dominant, that of Roman Catholicism. And this, friends, has been the case for over 700 years. Today, Poland is one of the most Roman Catholic countries, not just in Europe, but in our world. Have a look. Here come the statistics. Almost 90% of Polish people identify as Roman Catholic. That is a huge statistic, especially in today's circumstances where secularism seems to be on the rise so much. By contrast, the number of evangelical Christians, Bible-believing Christians like you or I, is simply minuscule. At best, evangelicals make up less than 0.3% of the population. In reality, it's probably much lower than that. One of our Polish missionaries, he likes to explain it this way. He says, you could probably fit every evangelical Christian in Poland into Wembley Stadium and still have around 30,000 seats left. That brings it home, doesn't it? Now, here you can see on this little map the incredible abundance of Roman Catholic churches, each one represented by a little black and white icon. Present in almost all of the 2,500 districts across the land. But again, in stark contrast, here you can see the obvious absence of Protestant churches, represented by the little red or pink dots on the map. Out of 2,500 districts, around 270 or so will have a Protestant church. And of course, some of these will not be evangelical, will not be gospel proclaiming in any sense at all. So you see, the scale of the spiritual need in Poland is actually hard to overstate, friends. The cold, hard reality is this: vast swathes of this great land have been engulfed in spiritual darkness for centuries. Meaning millions upon millions of Polish men and women will have lived and died having never once heard the gospel. Yes, many will have been deeply religious, very sincere about their faith, very committed to their church, but they will have ended up in a lost eternity. Why? Because they've been blinded to that all-important truth that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That ought to move us deeply. Well, let's ask, why has Roman Catholicism had such a strong influence in Poland? Because in many ways, Poland bucks the trend. If you look at the surrounding nations, many are increasingly engulfed in secularism. Poland is, to a degree, beginning to become a little bit more secularist, but not nearly to the same extent. Well, one of the reasons for this strength of Roman Catholicism is due to a man called Karol Wojtyła. Back in 1978, this man, who was Archbishop of Krakow, was made Pope, taking the name John Paul II. And the election of a Polish Pope had an electrifying effect upon the country. For he was, you see, the first non-Italian Pope in over 450 years. His pontificate, which spanned more than 26 years, is one of the longest in history, and despite his death back in 2005, he is still very much idolized, revered, and adored by Polish people. This was really brought home to me a few years ago whenever I was over visiting one of our missionaries in Poland, and he took me to a place called Wadowice, small town near Krakow, where the Pope was born and raised. And as such, it's one of the most important destinations for Polish pilgrims. In normal times, it would be drawing hundreds of thousands of Polish people every year. Here you have the impressive Basilica in Wadowice, dedicated, of course, exclusively to the Pope. And on entering it, as I did, you will find inside the sanctuary on the altar a small glass vial containing a single drop of the Pope's blood. This is now an official first-class relic, believed to have special healing powers, and as such is an object of great veneration. Just one little example of the depth of feeling, of the strength of Catholicism within this land. Well, as I said, with so many other European countries, Poland is beginning to change. It's not changing as rapidly as other European nations, but it is beginning to change. The church's grip is beginning to loosen. Its influence is beginning to decline, and the number of active members across the land is beginning to shrink, especially in the big cities and especially amongst Poland's younger generation. So many younger Poles who will tell you that they are Catholic, when you scratch beneath the surface and you ask a few questions, you'll find that in truth they are practically nominal. And some younger Poles are turning their back on religion completely as they follow the rest of Europe into a purely secular, materialistic worldview. So then, when you stand back and you look at the big picture in Poland, whether it's this historic dominance of Roman Catholicism or this more recent shift towards secularism, Poland is one of the neediest and toughest mission fields in our world. But it's into this very mission field that EMF have been working tirelessly for many years, for decades, in fact. At present, we are privileged to support three Polish pastors and church planters. Last time I was here, we showed a little video of Adam Urban, one of our other Polish missionaries. But this time we're going to focus in on Krzysztof Rutkowski. There's Krzysztof and his wife, Aneta. They are a really lovely couple engaged in a very significant and strategic ministry. So where are they based? Well, they live in the city of Wrocławek. Here it comes on the map. There's Wrocławek, located right bang in the center of the country. It's actually one of the oldest cities in the land. It's an important industrial center, a cultural hub, and it's situated alongside the Vistula River, which is the longest, largest river in Poland. But Wrocławek is also a place of massive spiritual need. Until recently, there was just one evangelical church in this city of over 100,000 people. One church for 100,000 people. And it was in this church which Krzysztof ministered for 30 years as an assistant pastor, an elder, a preacher, church secretary. However, since 1997, Krzysztof's main ministry has been to lead a small Christian publishing house called Legatio. Legatio, there it is. It exists to translate and distribute Christian books. Now, in order to understand the importance of this ministry, you've got to understand the dearth of Christian literature in Poland. Even today, Polish believers do not have a single Bible commentary for several books of the Bible in their mother tongue. In fact, there isn't even a significant systematic theology available in Polish. Now, why is that the case? I mean, I think to my study, and I'm ashamed by the number of commentaries and books that I have that I've hardly even read. But why is there such a disparity? Why is there such a desperate lack of Christian literature in Polish? Well, basically because the 16th century Reformation in Poland was effectively snuffed out within 100 years. So Poland has no evangelical heritage of which to talk of, meaning it has hardly any Christian resources. Now again, contrast that with a rich heritage and the abundance of resources that you and I have in our language, and you can see two things. Number one, how privileged we are. Number two, how spiritually deprived our Polish brothers and sisters are. And so for almost 25 years, Krzysztof has been committed to translating and publishing some of the best books we have in English into Polish. You see, he's convinced, as we are, that good, solid biblical books are absolutely vital to the health and growth of the Polish church. And that's why, way back in 1997, EMF gave Krzysztof that initial startup grant to get the work up and going. And it's why we've been supporting it prayerfully and financially ever since. Bear in mind that the market for these kinds of books in Poland is very small because the numbers of believers there are so small. So Legatio is not profit-making, which is why Legatio needs help from EMF, and that's why EMF needs help from you. Now, very quickly, let me give you a little flavor for the kinds of books that Legatio are producing. Here are just three recent titles. This is the first one, Who is an Evangelical Christian? By Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. It's a great little book which gets right to the heart of the evangelical faith. Lloyd-Jones defines the essential beliefs and practices necessary to be called an evangelical. And friends, this is so important in a Polish context where the church is not only incredibly small, but often poorly taught and therefore easily led astray. Sadly, many Polish Christians fall prey to the prosperity gospel, the charismatic movement, and other forms of shallow, unhelpful theology. So you can see then, this is a really relevant resource which builds up and bolsters the faith and the understanding of Polish believers. Here's the second fairly recent title. This one's a bit more current. The Gospel and Personal Evangelism by Mark Dever, one of the nine Marks books. Now, we know evangelism is always challenging. And I find it especially challenging. But you know, it is incredibly difficult for our Polish brethren. Why? Because in Poland, it's often believed that evangelicals are part of a cult or sect. And so they are often kept on the margins of society, treated with real suspicion and distrust, and occasionally outright hostility. Therefore, the ability to share your faith with courage and clarity and compassion in that context is crucial. And this little book provides a wealth of wisdom when it comes to personal evangelism. Last one I'm going to mention is this one. It's a Bible commentary on the book of Joshua. One of my favorite Bible commentators, Dale Ralph Davis. And as a little aside, if you've never read any of Dale Ralph Davis's book, you really are missing out. You see, one of Legatio's primary aims is to support and resource church leaders. Sadly, in Poland, there are very few ministers and pastors, but even fewer who will have been well taught and trained in Bible doctrine. And so providing these brothers with Bible commentaries and books on preaching and pastoring in their own language is crucial. And this excellent book by Dale Ralph Davis is just one example of trying to do that and meet that need. Now, of course, over the years, lots of other titles have been published, including books by Stuart Olliott, John Blanchard, William Hendrickson, J.C. Ryle, and others, all authors, all books of the highest quality. One recent book, which is in the process of being translated, and we hope will be published next month, is called The Christian Life by Sinclair Ferguson. And it's come about in a very interesting way. A local church here in Northern Ireland decided to sponsor the publication of this book. Really exciting opportunity. They really saw the benefits of it. They wanted to help cover the costs of translating and printing it. And just next month, we hope it'll be ready for the first time ever to get into the hands of Polish men and women. Isn't that exciting? Maybe that's something that you as a congregation might like to consider as well. Yes, in one sense, what Legatio is doing is a little drop in the ocean compared to the need. But it's a start. And if we can raise more help and more support, then we can get many more quality books produced. Can I ask, exhort you to pray for this ministry? It's a small work. In many ways, it's running on a shoestring budget. And yet it's incredible how God has blessed it and used it. Pray that God would continue to raise up the finances so that this work would not merely continue, but expand and grow and flourish and have an even greater impact on the church in Poland. So that's Legatio, but that's only one half of Christoph's ministry because he's also engaged in church planting. Back in 2019, Christoph spearheaded an effort to plant a new church in his home city of Wrocławek. This, of course, is in a different area to the church where Christoph served for those 30 years. That's the mother church. But remember, there's plenty of scope for growth with there only being that one other church in 100,000 people. Now, this little work that Christoph began 2 years ago started very small, very humbly. In the beginning, there were just 5 or 6 individuals meeting together in someone's home for Bible studies. But in the months following, the Lord really blessed Christoph and his faithful preaching and pastoral ministry. He's also used Annette, his wife, who is very gifted at discipling the ladies in the group and also drawing alongside and working with the children. Today, praise the Lord, there are almost 30 people gathering regularly. Here's the little picture of them in the early days. Really just a handful of believers meeting together. Here's the most recent picture we have. Doesn't that do your heart good? The Lord is working. The Lord is blessing. And some of these people have been converted as a direct result of their witness, including this brother. He recently made public his profession of faith by being baptized. A really joyful occasion for the fellowship. Another encouragement is that within the group there are a few families, meaning there are quite a number of children, young people, which of course bodes well for the future. So with God's grace, Christoph has been establishing a solid base and framework for this fledgling work to progress. In fact, just a few months ago, they officially constituted. They sent off all the documents to the council, which, thank the Lord, were accepted, meaning they are legally registered now as a new church, the second church in Wrocławek. Friends, I wish I could tell you that this kind of thing happens all the time in Poland. It doesn't. This is cause for celebration. This is cause to praise God for a new little gospel light being struck in the land of Poland. Please pray for them. Over the next couple of months, they're going to be looking for premises in which to meet. You could see in the previous slide there, they're meeting in an upstairs room. It's really part of an apartment which is not really very suitable. Of course, they've got limited resources. There are one or two opportunities which are coming up on auction. Pray that the Lord would guide. Pray that he would provide the means for them to find somewhere more permanent in a good location. Lots of evangelistic openings on their doorstep. That God would bless this fledgling little fellowship. Friends, you've got a great opportunity to get involved, to really support Christoph and Annette and their work in Poland. Why not commit to praying for them on a regular basis? It's the best thing you could do. I've left a couple of sign-up sheets. As you leave, pop your details down there. We'll send you their prayer letters. You can be informed and be prayerful. I've also got a copy of their little leaflet here, which you can grab again on the way out. We'll remind you of the main details, be another little prompt to prayer. And of course, we've got our Vision magazine. These come out 3 times a year. We put a lot of effort into these to give you a really good overview of all the different aspects and areas of Europe. Grab a copy. If you'd like to receive one, pop your details down. We can post it. We can email it off to you to help you in your prayer life. And of course, you can not only pray for them, but you could support them financially too. Even a small gift. Even perhaps take one of the little standing order forms. Give a small amount each month. You can head it up for Christoph and Annette, or perhaps just to EMF, whatever your preference. As the Lord leads you, please do what you can. Help us to keep on supporting great gospel work, like the one we've heard of tonight in Poland and right across Europe. There's our website. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Lots of little video clips and articles going on there. Why not go on, give some of them a like, and follow and share what you see there. That will be a great encouragement to us. Well, that's enough from me. Thank you again for all your support and encouragement. Thanks.